Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
And I gotta tell you, it's so funny. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I like how you just continued to discuss what we were talking about before we started the podcast.
I know.
That's beautiful. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Screw. Sometimes I have a good solid intro, and sometimes I don't.
Yeah,
I don't have it.
It's hard. It's being on.
We've been doing this for a long fucking time, so sometimes I just don't have it.
I know.
Speaking of podcasts that have been doing things for a long time, just a quick shout out. I was just on Billy's podcast, the Man Whore podcast. It'll be out. Our interview will interview. It was just a chat, but that will be out within the next few weeks. And it was quite fun. We had a fun conversation. And yeah, check it out.
Check I love out. The name Man Whore.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I can't wait. So yeah, we're going to talk about something today.
Are we? Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, usually I'm not this high before a podcast, but I realized like it's only 10 in the morning here. I know you
should get high. Well, yeah, that, and you know, it was a little celebratory poof, yeah, poof.
Some
so
good news.
Yeah.
Some good news today. And yeah, so wonderful news. We're going to talk about some sex stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. I broke a molar and now I cannot suck dick, which is disappointing.
What?
Yeah. Because it's so sharp and jagged, like the break.
You could cut his
dick. No, I could cut my cheek or my tongue from like right now my tongue is cut up because of it just being in my mouth. So like, I can't imagine using a lot of suction and friction and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to like end up like cutting through your lip either.
Yeah, there's just too much of a risk.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Hopefully that'll be taken care of sometime soon.
My ability to suck dick, that would be like super unfortunate.
Well, it's like, what do I lead with then? You know, a handy.
What about like lots of ton? I once knew a guy who could get off just from me like running my tongue up and down.
Even that though hurts my tongue. The break is right in that.
You could just go pop it.
Yeah, I know.
kiss it till he comes.
Blow air at it.
Right. I mean, we all know.
You had yet?
We all thought that's what a blowjob was the first time we heard it. I know we did. Like, did you know
probably,
a blowjob wasn't like? Because I literally the first time I learned before I actually did perform.
I don't remember. Yeah, of course. I don't remember.
But like, I do remember thinking, like, how is this gonna work? How did I learn? I don't know how I learned. I think I learned on the job. The job called blow.
So you didn't see porn before you did the job?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, keep in mind, when I was a kid, it was VHS, and, like...
Sure, yeah, of course.
And my dad did have, I found out, like, probably when I was, like, 15, had, like, VHS tapes put in his toolbox underneath, like, that top shelf of his toolbox, and that is where I saw he actually had Debbie Does Dallas. So the first porn I saw, as boring as that sounds, is Debbie Does Dallas, and then there was one with, Thou Shall Not Be Named.
That one.
Whatever. Yeah, we're not going to give him anything. So, speaking of which, you sent me some very interesting stuff. And I guess this is like an influencer thing going online with these, like, what's the term? I sound like an old man. What's the term? Oh, clickbait.
Yeah, and it's not even influencers, I would call them. I would just say it's people trying to go viral based on, you know, kind of a shock factor. So this one in particular, what did it say? So this
it was something about wearing a butt plug for
this person's on the screen with a butt plug in their mouth, mind you, like dancing around with, like, you know, a suggestive, I suppose you could call it, outfit on.
She is also a healthcare professional, and I'll get to the takedown of that in a second.
Okay, and so what did it say?
It said something about you can't imagine what 8 to 12 hours with this in will do or something. It's something in the premise of it. It's stupid. It's vague. I didn't understand it. Like, I think I even asked you. I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about?
Right.
But basically, the idea of wearing a plug-in for 8 to 12 hours.
For your pelvic floor. That's what it was, right?
Well, she didn't use that word,
though. I thought she did, no? Oh, okay.
Oh, did she? Right. Not in the screen, things that were on the screen. But, like, I was, like, as someone who has worn a lot of butt plugs in my life, one or two butt plugs in the day, I'm sorry. Like, a plug in any hole, like, first of all, like, if you're going to give that advice, you want to talk about, like, constantly moving it around, applying constant lubrication. And even then, like, you these toys, I don't know what it is. Like, no matter what they're made of, they definitely get dry. And, like, then we're talking about tearing. And we're talking about, right, exactly. And this is real. This is why this is really fucking bad advice. And I don't, you know, like.
Yeah, so it says on the screen, wearing a butt plug for 8 to 12 hours a day has so many benefits, such as, and then just says one benefit. And it says making your sensitivity and ability to reach orgasm. Hold on, I got to go back to it. I forgot to freeze it. Reach that moment by up to 99%. Shut the fuck up. 8 to 12 hours?
Show me your data. Show me your data.
All right. So you're taking it out after even in 2 hours, right? And you said, what, we're talking about ripping? We're talking about...
Yeah, tearing. Like, and I'm sorry. Let's just be real. Like, how are you going to the fucking bathroom? 8 to 12 hours? Like,
oh God, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
In general, like, your food digests in 6 to 8. And, like, you know, wherever you have this plug, sitting on the toilet with a plug is not a thing, okay? Like, unless you plan on going in there after it, it's not a thing. So this is not practical. Don't do this at home, kids, as they say. Like, no, absolutely not. This person is a healthcare professional who in some of their posts is wearing a stethoscope and scrubs and, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, you wouldn't believe what my patients think when I tell them what I do on the side.
No. Are they actually a healthcare professional, though, or are they just
if you look
performing
at
as one?
Posts that reference talking to
their patients. It says med student.
Right. Yeah. And, hey, no problem. Go get
yours.
They're
not a fucking med student at
Whatever.
All.
Whatever. Even if it's bullshit. Like, even worse, you are masquerading as a healthcare professional. And when you're wearing this outfit and giving advice like 8 to 12 hours, you're a problem.
Oh, and she has her... scrubs pulled like up to her coochie so that you can see her like camel toe specifically. Like, it's very, yeah, no, like, you can tell this is all she did is she got like a bench, a fake skeleton and a couple posters and put them on the wall, and she's pretending to be.
Okay, well, stop that.
Like, she's on her ranch, you can tell. Like, Stop that.
And look, again, I'm not saying stop doing sexy content, even if you are a med student. I get it. It's expensive. What I am saying is when you put on that outfit and you give out specific, like, advice-sounding things.
Yeah, of course, because there's people misleading. That liked that are probably going to try it, and now they're going to hurt themselves, and they're going to have to end up at the ER because somebody faking... Look at, there's another post. When your patients find out you always wear a plug at work because you understand the amazing health benefits it has for you and your patients.
What?
Exactly. And it's in her mouth, and she's like moving around on the, like, in stupid. This little fake.
So fucking stupid. So stupid.
Yeah. And again, listen, cosplaying for all sorts of other things, I have no problem for that. But, like, please do not go out of your way to present yourself as, because some, like, for the, you know, one time looking at that, people might think it's real.
I would report, and then they might. You're going to get sued. Like, you know, just don't put yourself in a stupid position. I have no problem with the sexy doctor, sexy nurse, sexy fucking vet thing. Go for it.
Sexy vet. Oh, God.
I mean, aren't there sexy vets? I don't fucking know. Okay, maybe not a sexy vet. You don't want to give your animals bad sex advice. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not, you know, anyway, so, fuck yeah. Like, it's just, it's, you know, and it's not my mission alone in this world, but, like, fuck. You gotta, like, you shouldn't be harming people with, like, sexy stuff, you know? And I say this, like, for anything, you know, let's give some practical advice around this, right? Because I see a lot of amazing activities in especially amateur porn with, like, ridiculous, inhuman looking size, long dildos that are large and whatever. And, you know, don't think you can just pick one of those up and do it today. If you've never taken things that big. And there's not disclaimers on these films, and there's not conversations going on about, like, you know, safety. Like, you do not want to pierce any part of your internal organs having sex play, you know?
And I always hear that is a, like, one of the most common ER, not one of the most, but, you know, it's a very common ER injury is somebody has inserted something inside of their ass that they cannot take out again for whatever purpose, whatever reason. It's too big. It's a weird shape. It got lodged in, you know. Don't, if you're going to do anything that you are in, you have no experience with, make sure you do as much research as possible, and having a play partner or somebody you can tag in if something goes wrong is very helpful too.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, the biggest thing here is, like, these things are supposed to be enjoyable. And I know many things we see are erotic and look very, very exciting because they arouse us. But the safety of a lot of these things, sounding, for instance, like, let's do a little sounding lesson for those at home. So sounding is when you put a rod, usually a stainless steel, hopefully nothing else if you're trying to do this safely, stainless steel rod into your urethra entrance on your penis. And there are, they sell these things in shops, and they'll sell you a set, like, that come in multiple sizes. So if you feel so compelled, you can work your way up. But this is not, like, a beginner sport, okay? This is an activity that, like, imagine ruining the inside of your dick. Not every time you piss and come, you feel pain. So, like, for those of you who are turned on by watching videos of this, like, doing it in reality is different, and you need to learn how to do it safely and with people. And there are communities for all this stuff, from fisting to sounding online. Sure. If you want some advice of who to connect you with, like, shoot us an email.
There's people that will do demonstrations. There's also a lot of sex workers that are, you know, very, or, and doms that are very, you know, well-versed in these things, that they absolutely can provide you a session if you want to do it with somebody that knows what they're doing. Also, urethral sounding is something that you can do to a vulva as well. There's just more specifics about, like, when you're able to do it and all of that. Exactly. But it is something that can be done to anybody, but it's also something that you know, can have some serious consequences if you're doing it with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. So, yeah, definitely double check. And
exactly. And, like, you know, where, again, our disclaimer, we are not, like, certified professionals in anything. But, like, I'm also not telling you to go out to do it. I'm not explaining to you how to do it.
No. We're saying go to the people that know how to do it if you want to do things, you know.
Exactly.
So, there's plenty of people that enjoy things that maybe have a higher risk, but they do it safely because they're doing it properly with the right people. So, you know,
absolutely.
Just keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, so there's that, you know, and of course, you know, you see a lot of stuff online of people saying and doing stupid stuff. And like, actually, I was wondering, you know, how Instagram changed all their stuff now with like, what you can see, like seeing political stuff or not seeing political stuff, but like, yeah. They also have this other setting about reducing content that has been shown to be false or harmful. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to discuss it really quick because, you know, I think it's important, you know, especially these days, to go ahead and look at those settings in your Instagram if you are a active user of that. But like, we have to be careful when you let things like Instagram moderate your content of what you're mm-hmm. seeing. So I want, you know, I would still say that you should be responsible for checking out on Snoops or like looking at resources, fact checker, and like, you know, kind of not trusting necessarily. And Instagram doesn't make it easy to see what their fact checking algorithm or sources are.
Right.
And I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg with information at this point. So I don't think you should either. But, you know, I say this because, you know, in theory, maybe if you had that setting on, you wouldn't get healthcare girls, like, you know, bad information, but you probably would. Because I really don't imagine they're screening content you're typing within your little stories, you know. I'm not sure, like, you know, what their system is screening for. So be careful out there, y'all. There's bad shit being communicated. There's scary stuff. There's harmful stuff. There's painful stuff. So, you know, browse with
there's care. Catfishing.
Catfishing.
There's people that message like my more famous friends that are like, I sent you money on this platform and you didn't give me the thing. And right. She's like, I don't know who you spoke to, but it certainly wasn't me, you know? So like, there's these scammers still and catfishing and all that. It's still a fucking thing after all these years. So
exactly.
Be careful. Be careful to like triple check whatever it is you're doing online, whether you're giving money to somebody or you're fucking whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. So there you have it. So I was going to say, I really like this like format where throughout the week we send each other shit we want to gripe about.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, what was it? Oh, right. Okay. So, you know, on a slightly more serious note, I wanted to talk about, so the Texas Attorney General has been trying to gather information about people who belong to PFLAG, and you know, it's under this auspice that like, we're gonna protect, you know, youth from getting trans affirming care or information out to LGBT youth about how to take care of themselves and have support systems. So a court blocked this, but I want to like put this on all y'all's radar. Don't just be like, oh, phew. This is happening everywhere. It's going to keep happening. They're going to keep hammering at it until they get a favorable judge that lets them do it. So, like, now is the time if you were like, what can I do in the world right now? In addition to everything else to pay attention to, this is really important. Like, nothing gives me more chills, like V for Vendetta style, than the idea of, like, government, state or federal, collecting information about organizations that we participate with. That is terrifying, and you should be slightly terrified about that idea that there are even a government officials out there petitioning to do that all over the country. No bueno. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's another thing going on. I think it's in Florida where they're trying to, I think it was Kansas actually. And this is what I'm talking about. It's all over the place where they're trying to ban youth from being able to access LGBT comment. LGBT content. That's why I don't usually use those letters, because they don't roll off my tongue or anybody's tongue. Queer content. So, you know, if we let this happen to queer youth, we are literally cutting off vital lifelines to help ensure even a modicum of their health and safety. So please be vigilant, pay attention locally, pay attention on the state level, and definitely pay attention federally. Let's like work together to make sure our health and our well-being is at least assured, and that our privacy and our right to exist is not interfered with.
Yes.
That's all I got to say about that. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and not to be a downer, but, like, the balance is always this. Like, you get less and less access to your pleasure in the world the more they restrict your freedom. That's just a thing, okay? So, yeah. Anyways, so...
That's a good way of putting it. I'm sorry, I was pontificating over here.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. So I was also reading this thing.
What thing? What are you giggling about?
So there's this article that came out in the New York Times. It's an opinion piece, so, like, not exactly the hardest of news sources. But it's about the quest for a new vision of sexual morality. Which, you know, so it's kind of talking about we're in the culture now where, like, every other fucker has an OnlyFans account or whatever, and that, you know.
Fucker.
Every other fucker. And that, you know, people are having access to sexuality on kind of unprecedented levels, right? So, like, you know, the U.S., And the article starts out with a conversation about Hugh Hefner, what, like, the Hugh Hefner penthouse playboy, I forgot his name, but, you know, what they kind of did for sexuality of the era, how they brought, like, sexuality out of the 1950s kind of morality into a time, you know, that it could be a little bit more playful. And then I think, honestly, we had, like, a backlash to that in, like, the 80s and 90s, where, like, you know, the moral sexuality police were kind of coming in, and it's always on protect the kids, and, you know, and not
satanic panic
and not that, like, you know, we shouldn't be as a society together somehow, like, trying to ensure, you know, a safer sexuality, you know, but, like, anyways, the conversation really is, like, what should the sexual morality of the day be, you know? And I know we talk a lot about, like, well, consent, like a consent energy, you know? Honestly, I think for the most part, that's the main morality that we should have. We need to get out of a shame-based thing, you know, slut shaming on either sides and every which avenue of people. So, you know, I always think this, because, you know, culture war, when you look at, like, queer podcast stuff, it's amazing what you get back in the hits. All these conversations about, like, well, why are so many youth identifying as queer folks, you know, and trying to create a moral panic around it, right? And say, oh, you know, we fix this and kind of rile up the base. And hence, this is, you know, what is being used for, like, these Texas attorney generals and whatnot to, like, start saying, like, you know, we got to protect our kids. This will not protect the kids. Shame and secrecy around sexuality protects no one. not a single person.
It's the most failed system yet when it comes to any type of sexuality. We know that celibacy only does not work. Right. Never has worked. And if anything, it does the quite opposite. Right. So... pretending like people aren't having sex or aren't having queer sex or whatever the fuck is just stupid at this point.
Prohibition of things is never a good idea, right? You know, unfortunately, we see in, like, I think it was Oregon, they're, like, repealing their entire decriminalization that they had of drugs because they really didn't set up the infrastructure to handle their stuff, so, like, the kind of right-wing forces were able to say, it didn't work. It's the problem has increased. I mean, it hasn't, and it does work, but it wasn't, like, it wasn't sure. handled well. So, you know, we don't want to find ourselves in these positions where we try something new and progressive and it's not like it's not handled or implemented well, and then it gets repealed and we're right back to where we're started, you know. It's the conversation that always needs to go on in our struggle for like rights as queer folks, and like how do we put ourselves in a position where it's not so easy to like push us back in a closet or take away our like take away trans affirming care or anything that like makes us happier and healthier individuals. So, you know, I think let's like be present and pay attention to this shit, folks, because sex is awesome. It's a lot of fun. My whole friendship, like, of over a decade with you has revolved around, like, the ability to have conversations about these things, to, like, really, like, enjoy ourselves without shame and talk about what we enjoy without shame. And it's been phenomenal for my health. Even though I've been older, you know, I definitely, you know, knew that there were things that like I still needed to overcome in like in terms of shame, you know, and I think mm-hmm. that's it's a lifelong journey for sure. And like around our sexuality and around our pleasure and around our way of being and our identity, you know, we live in a world that has a very narrow view of what is acceptable and what is successful.
And, very true. You
know, so when we don't fit that mold, we are constantly faced with like a kind of self-reflection that can include shame if we're not careful, you know, and we have to literally dissent against the ideas of normal and the concepts of success to really truly like liberate our brains from this shit so we can feel good. I mean, not just sexually, I mean on every fucking level.
Yeah, and it comes back to like respectability politics. Absolutely. And all that nonsense that goes with it. Absolutely. But I would want to correct you. It's almost been 2 decades, my love.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that. Celebrate your friendships, y'all. And if you don't have a friend,
hell yeah.
You know, celebrate yourself. Like, people are awesome and they're a lot of fun and brains are fascinating. I mean, I'm not just being like hyperbolic high, but like it's true. You know, when I hear people say I hate people, I get what you hate. I get what you're saying.
Sure.
But people are pretty amazing.
If my thing lately has been, especially when you're like, why am I putting myself in this situation, maybe socially or whatever? I like to think of it as not what can I get out of this person or situation or thing, but what can I learn from this person or situation or thing, you know? So I might not get anything out of it. It might be a net negative or net zero. There might not be good ROI. Okay. But did I physically, but did I learn something mentally?
Yeah. No, totes.
Not that I ever like based stuff on that anyways, but you know, when you're trying to like decide, is it worth it to leave the house? Is it worth it to spend money doing this activity? Is it worth, you know, those kinds of things. Sometimes you're like, well, what am I getting out of it? Well, at the very least, you're learning about another person and how their brain works. It's
absolutely. And look, on the more strategic level, I've always said this, in this world, if you want to navigate people really well, learn what their insecurities are, learn what their weaknesses are, and learn what their fears are. If you're able to do that,
be around humans. If you do that, you'll learn about humans. You don't even need to know, like, you don't even need to know people specifically to be able to understand sort of what you're getting into when you know humans in a deeper sense. And I'm not saying that I always know what I'm getting into when it comes to interactions, but sometimes, you know, you're spot on if you've just been around enough people that you're like, oh, that person is the type of person that reminds me of this one that I met. Yeah, or
I read that,
you know, what I'm trying book, to say.
Like a while back, and it has always been like a kind of key to like being able to make myself sunny about the world and humanity again. And it is really just the simple idea of like radical acceptance and radical compassion for humanity. And because I am political, I like contextualize that into knowing what the world is about. It's about struggle. It's about a rigged system. This is not a conspiracy thing at this point. I think we can all look around and smell the shit. So, you know, keeping those things in mind, it's very easy to understand why people are happy, why unhappy, why people are anxious, why people are short-tempered, you know? Like, you know, if we're able to contextualize that in our own minds and come to the table, because we know what it is for us. Like, I always say, when I see somebody in a shitty mood, I'm like, that self-care didn't happen for that person today. They either skipped a meal, right, or they got 3 hours of sleep or something else is going on. Because I don't think people's default is shitty. I think we live in a very shitty, challenging world. And the way each of us handles it and processes it is very unique to us. And we're not all given, you know, this isn't something, they don't teach us, literally they don't teach you coping skills in school or in our education.
The one thing that they should fucking teach you.
I mean, think about like what happens when somebody has a breakdown when you're young in school. They put you in the corner, or they like have you go take quiet time or whatever. There's no
right,
and they expect you to self-soothe and like cope. But by whose thing did we learn that? If you are fortunate enough to have parents right, that did instill those like skills in you, awesome. Congratulations. You know, and whatever your context was, I really hope, oh wow, that was fun. You know, because it's a thing. If you have parents and you're growing up like most people do, like with like some struggle either financially, or like have both parents working, or only have one parent and they're working, whatever your story is, chances are your family hasn't gotten to spend the time really helping you grow and giving you the skills that you actually need to survive. Calculus, I'm sorry, is not a base survival skill need. Coping and self-soothing are. Like, if I could rewrite the fucking curriculum, let me tell you.
I do think that like the younger generations that are now teaching are definitely, you know, there's plenty of teachers that are teaching coping skills and different ways to handle, you know, in kindergarten, first grade and things like that. But, you know, those are, you know, probably few and far between, because it's not on the goddamn, you know, city's curriculum or whatever it is.
Coping skills for a 5-year-old are not the same coping skills for a preteen like an adolescent or like a late stage teen. Like, these things we encounter much more shocking and new emotional obstacles as we age.
Well, and also like the presence of different hormones going on in your body that changes your reaction in general. So you have to learn coping skills a whole new way. It doesn't work.
All you ever hear, so we know like as a kind of psychodevelopmental process, that like being a hero of your own fantasy kind of thing is, you know, and a like 14 to 17 big energy. We always say, you feel invincible at that age. Like, nothing bad can happen to you, right? That you're, you know, able to overcome anything. And what do adults tell you? Like, oh yeah, you kids these days, you think nothing can fucking happen to you. And we don't, like, put them in a position to, like, actually think cautiously about how they're thinking and feeling about things, right? Like, how often do you hear somebody explain, you just say like, oh, growing pains, or your hormones are driving you crazy. No, like, let's talk about what's actually happening to your brain so you understand it. So when like you are making decisions, or you are thinking like, I can, you know, throw this car into 70 miles an hour on a busy street and pass everyone, that
right,
you may not do that, because you may understand your brain is telling you you can do anything. I mean, gosh, I wish somebody had that conversation with me when I like tried to move out of the house as a fucking kid and like, you know, thought I could survive with no problems. Like, that's
right. Well, when your brain isn't fully formed, you don't exactly make, you know, completely informed decisions.
Exactly. You know, and And that's okay. This is not a critique. This is nature, man. You know, like, this is like, again, what do we mean when we say we want to like raise kids? I'm hoping we mean we want to raise kids that know how to keep themselves.
We want to raise hell.
You know,
sorry, I don't know why I made that into a metal song.
I always think like my whole thing would be just, how do I ensure their safety and success in life? And I have a different definition of what's required for that. But like, I don't think we should, you know, being able to feel good is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. It gives you a competitive advantage. And to take it out of the esoteric, I seriously mean to survive. Like, living and working in the world, I see as I get older, more kids enter the workforce in their early 20s, and I see the depression set in within a year. What am I doing? How am I doing? This is awful. No shit. No shit, it's awful. Let's talk about that. Let's think about that. One, how can you cope? Because the revolution ain't coming tomorrow. Maybe it is, but what you have to do to survive in this world we live in is make money on some level, or get access to it, or like figure out what services you need to survive, like that are available if you're fucking lucky. That is the story we live right in. So yeah, try like getting off with all of that on your fucking brain. I think that's the thing. Like, it's hard. I'm not trying to sit here as like some fucking dude who's like got it figured out. You know, it's an ebb and flow thing. But these are the things that I try to keep in mind to wake up and like, you know, not want to draw the curtains again and go back to sleep. You know, and I know that's a struggle for a lot of people, especially these days, especially after COVID. It's, you know, all I ever hear is how young people are having sex less, you know, and that the inspiration for enjoying yourself is gone. Like, we got technology to take its place. We can have a 5-hour chat with ChatGPT and not feel alone. Like, look, no critique. I know it. I see it. We've been raised on it. But human interaction, we're kind of that species. We're not a solitary. We're not the lion roaming the earth protecting like 100 kilometer territory, right? Like, we literally need one another to do everything, to keep our plumbing running in our domicile, to like produce food.
Oh my god, you're such a socialist. I love you. You're like, you need to get out and learn everybody's name in your village.
Hell because yeah.
you're going to have to trade butter for wheat one day.
Well, not just that. Fuck that. Like, you need to know who's gonna stab you in the fucking back when you're not looking. Let's be real.
I'm just fucking with you. I'm no on the same shame. Page as you, of course.
I feel it.
But the way that you were wording it, I was like, oh, Jesus. What cult are we bringing to fruition right now?
Fucking the hippies, they had so many good ideas, but like did too many drugs and didn't get them accomplished.
So before I forget, if you are in the Southern Jersey or Philly area on the 4th of April, come out to CFU. It'll be in Gloucester City, New Jersey, and it is going to be at 6 p.m. It's going to be awesome. I'm working with Megan Mason, and she's amazing, and I'm really excited, and this will be the first of a few shows we're going to work together, so come fucking see us. Hey.
Yeah, what a hustler.
It's the only thing that I am doing for WrestleMania weekend, aside from I will be doing my topless watch-alongs both nights on Saturday and Sunday. So join on my OnlyFans, which is Felicia Rose New. And yes, you have to pay to sign up, but it is on sale, like super duper sale. And you can hang out with me for WrestleMania.
Wait, is that this weekend or next weekend?
Next weekend. It's after it's after the show that I'm working.
Time to edit this podcast and get it up. So y'all can hear about it.
You do.
So you can make sure you go and enjoy yourself.
Y'all can hear about it.
Let me tell you, this hoe, that's my best friend here, is amazingly entertaining always. So don't miss it.
I feel like on this episode, I wasn't entertaining at all. So that's funny that you should say that. Like, this is a bad example of said entertainment.
Like, no. No. Like, sometimes, like, no.
No.
I, like, enjoy talking to you. Like, seriously. I mean, you know, sometimes one of us has more to say than the other. That's, like, the real organic power of the Screw podcast.
That is a very good point. I'm currently feeling my quad muscles, and they're getting juicy, and that's I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I see Charlie massaging them.
Yeah, they're just the juice is, in there. It's worth the squeeze or something.
That's beautiful.
I don't know, fuck it up.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So you know.
Whoa. I know. Jesus Christ.
No. No, Jesus Christ. Fuck that. Oh, man. Someday all my Jesus hating is going to come back to haunt me. I like love the Jesus, hate the Jesus lover. How's that? We'll turn that around.
Remember our first Brooklyn apartment where just the entire apartment was decorated in very...
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
What's the word for it? Ornate. Yeah, it was very like ornate, religious, just photos and
yeah, it was very
stuff.
Sacred,
like artwork, essentially.
It's cool.
It was cool. You know? I liked it. And we positioned it all into an upside down cross to make it extra sacrilegious.
Right. Oh my God.
So. That was terrible, but also nobody noticed, so it was okay.
Terrible, shmerrible. Like,
literally.
The tangents I could go upon. It's like I'm on this campus and it's a public campus. I'm just gonna go on it, right? Because my partner gets really uncomfortable when I taunt the Jesus freaks at their tables. Because you know, like I wake up, I get on campus, and I'm greeted because it's like leading up to, you know, this spring equinox. There we go. And like, so you've got like all these, you know, Christians like who stole all of this, like, you know, beautiful pagan ritualistic stuff and turned it into Jesus. And, you know, they're there to greet you as you get off the bus, essentially. And like, do you have a moment so I can talk to you about Jesus? And of course, I'm always like, get the fuck away from me. And then of course I go on a loud rant as I'm walking through, and I'm like, fucking have to deal with you. Like, I get it, it's a public university. What the fuck though? Like, you think they have to deal with this shit at Harvard? And I mean, you know, no hate to public universities. I love them, but boy, do I wish, like, the contradiction to being at a learning environment and then seeing all this nonsense, like, have a booth on campus is, like, it just seems like this is contradicts your, like, point of existing. Why let them be here? Anyhow.
Oh, the same people are, like, in the subway.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well, I have recorded videos of me going to it with the people in the subway, too. So I once walked by a guy, and he was like, you know, Jesus is praying for you. I said, fuck Jesus. And he starts yelling at him, see, I told you, you're going to burn in the internal damnations of hell. I was like, bring it. And, like, you know. And then, because it was one of those people, and I was like, just, you know, I'm always like, want to do reverse pamphleting to let people know about the atrocities of their particular denomination that they're subscribing to. You know, whether it's the billion dollars in property that Jehovah Witnesses have while, like, you're never allowed to see the inner workings of the church, and, like, or whether it's the Mormons and their tithing crap, even of fucking poor people, you know?
Sometimes I get nervous that the people that are out there trying to like sell these little Bibles or whatever the fuck they're doing, I get nervous that they're like a part of essentially a cult that hasn't been unearthed yet, like as a cult. Mm. And they're like the people going out and, you know,
their
like,
early
what is it, like,
indoctrination process.
Yeah, like there's like there was a ton of different, you know, I don't know, like flavors of essentially like the church, what is it, Latter-day Saints or whatever, like LDS. There's like there's a lot of that stuff with like and like people having to like push Bibles on people and like sell that. And I know some of the people that are doing it are just doing it on their own accord, but I do get nervous that some of those people are like the lowest rung of their cult. Yeah, but sometimes you can't get out of the cult. There's repercussions.
What I love about the Southwest, though, and I'll end it on a sweeter point because, you know, but like directly across from all the Jesus freak tables is the past life's experience table. So you've got like the Wiccan, Southwestern, like, you know, earthy new age like person. Not like, honestly, these Christians should learn something, because this motherfucker is there 6 days a week, all day long, with his little like fun like past lives brochure and like learn who you were and how it's affected you in the now, be here now. It's super cool. It's like, you know, that like
I was gonna say you have a good voice for that.
But you know, them Christians, they only come out one or two times a week. Fucking lazy bitches. Like, look at this. Look at this dude across from you.
Oh my god.
Anyways, if you wanna
I love the blasphemy right now. It's beautiful. It's like taking it to another level, and I'm here for it.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Listen, I have like 6 upside down crosses tattooed on me just because funsies, you know, when I was like 19, 20, like whatever. I'm not judging it. You say your piece.
Disappointed. There was like a hot moment, like, and again, the U.S. is like, has a high level of religiosity, meaning in general, they don't care what religion you have as long as you have one, right? Meaning like atheists are the bastards of hell in every belief system. So, and for a short while, I thought we were like really, you know, getting into some enlightenment around atheism. And I mean, atheism is growing around the world. Like, people are, you know, applying a little bit of like logic to their everyday lives here and there. And like, you know, want to enjoy their life now, not in the afterlife. Go figure. And you see this kind of like unfortunate thing that assholes like Bill Maher and some of the other like renowned atheist writers, they became so alarmist about religion that I think they really did do a disservice to the idea of like, you know, non-belief by like really coming off as Islamophobic or like really like hateful in religion. And like, look, I hate all religion equally. There you go. But like, it's mostly because I do see it as the obstacle to like reason and understanding and humanity. So, but you know, I really hope that like people learn how to talk about non-belief a little bit better. In a way that we don't always feel so kind of aggressed upon by organized religions, because, you know, they are really good at trying to otherize you immediately as some heathen unto, you know, can I talk to you a minute about Jesus? No, not even not a
the,
second.
Not the heathen unto.
But damn, that shirt is white. Where'd you get that pressed? Because we got Mormons walking around here all the time. And I'm always like, they're in the southwestern sun. I don't even see a patch of sweat on that. How do you do that, Mormon boys? You keep that shirt straight and starched white and no sweat stains? What the fuck is going on in that religion?
Oh, my gosh. Just saying.
Look, I love, like, I love what happened in, I think, in the early 2000s. The queer community got into this, like, huge fetishization of, like, Mormon boys that came out. Oh, yeah. Like,
really?
The porn that came out. And, I mean, this probably, like, went with, like, the South Park dudes even started, like, this, like, you know, they did that Book of Mormons. Like, so there was, like, Mormons were on fire for a hot minute. And because, you know, they don't have a good track record in the past with, like, all the shit they tried to do with, like, Prop 8 in California and, like, just the fact that they were infecting. I mean, I do hold them responsible for a lot of Russia's anti-LGBT shit, too, because they were over there whispering in their ear for a while. But, like, yeah, there was this whole fetish spirit. Like, what do they wear under those clothes? And, like, the shirt or whatever. I mean, like, this stuff, like, the things we will fetishize, let me tell you.
Ridiculous. I mean, I love it.
And so, like, there were porns, and there's, like, was a whole swath of, like, queer Mormon love films that came out. I think there's literally, like, two or three. It is kind of, like, becoming absurd.
Oh, my God.
I get it. Like, they're kind of cute in that, like, blah, twinkish kind of way, you know, and their dedication to God is, like, remarkable. It's like my dedication to my dick. I love it. Good job, boys. But there's always boys. Doesn't anybody, like, really ever analyze how sexist some of these religions are? Good fucking night. Anyhow.
Well... Yes.
Yeah. You never see, like, a group of four girls in starched white shirt and Bible Book of Mormons walking the door to door, right?
No, of course not. Well, I don't know, actually. Like, wait. I don't live in a place where people are knocking on my door selling me Bibles. It's just in the subway system.
In Massachusetts, we used to have the JWs. The JWs
yes.
would always knock on the door with, like, three children and their little, like, square pamphlets. I just want to leave something. Yes. Have you heard about the good news?
I remember, like, my father made it into such a big deal that, like, we would go running and, like, hide as if they were gonna like knock down the door and come get us. Like, we didn't understand the reason why he was so frustrated with them coming to the door.
I just started answering the door in my
underwear. So, like, I was, like, afraid of them for, like, maybe 3 or 4 years of my life because I didn't understand, like, what the fucking hoopla was. He didn't explain it to us. So we just, like, went running and hiding when they would come. It was so funny. We were, like, like as if they were, like, the police or something, like, coming to get us.
Once I was in my dad's lawn. And, like, they would come, you know, my dad had one of those old-fashioned Massachusetts houses with the front porch and everything, right? And, like, mm-hmm. you know, you would hear the porch creaking before the doorbell rang, right? So I'd be like, oh, shit. So, you know, like, I would, like, run and, like, get in my underwear and answer the door. Because, like, I figured this is, like, the way for them to knock, like, to mark. Like, there's got to be a way to X this house off. Because they come periodically and they don't stop, right? Especially if you open the door. And so, like, I open the door and I'm in my underwear and... You know, she does her spiel. She's like, do you want to put something on and we can have a conversation? I'm like, absolutely not. I'll step out here right now. Oh, no. Maybe some other time. And she came back another time and I was watering, like, the bushes or whatever. Like, some shit, like, the fucking suburbans planted. And, like, she started coming close to me and, like, actually walking on the lawn. And I started spraying, like, right in front of her. I said, get the fuck away from me. So just to say, this is the teen mind thinking they're invincible, like being able to tell adults to fuck off and want to spray them with the water hose. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
The scent. Anyhow, that's all I got. This I love my nipples. Yeah. Do you have a lot of sensation on your nipples? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people like.
I guess it's 95% of where, like, my enjoyment comes
it's
from.
It's weird. Like, when I was, like, maybe, like, under 25, no real sensation. Like, it wasn't a thing to me. And, like, people would suck on them and tweak them and whatever. And I'm like,
You gained more over time.
To the point now when like they're touched, especially when I'm aroused, it's like I don't know how to shut up. Like I can't have someone touch my nipples and not make ridiculous primordial whatever like noises like that are from like the my guts like it's like it's like insane anyway yeah what? No like, it's not it's like, the same thing that's happens hilarious. When, like somebody like licks my ear like that's almost too much I can't handle ear play. I don't know what they call that, but like, I cannot handle it. Like if you stick your tongue anywhere on my ear, like my eyes start watering and like I like squirm like a not even a ticklish way, just like it feels a level of good that I'm not ready to process. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that. Yeah. That makes sense.
Ended it on a sex note. We give you everything here at The Screw. Sex, politics, play, I don't know. I had a thing. Nipples.
Beautiful. Yeah, tune in next week. I'll tell you how I feel about mine.
That's hot. I'm going to lead with that.
You know, talk about clickbait.
Exactly. Charlie, do you want to close us out?
Oh, you didn't already press stop? No. Hi. Hello, hey. A love.
Hi, Charlie. It's Charlie. Good today. I can.
Can you see me?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
here.
Thank you. It's nice to see you, good sir.
Oh, Charlie, don't do that.
Oh, anyways, we're gonna go do some nipple stuff. Have a nice day, Nat. Goodbye. Whatever you celebrate. You do Easter? Don't buy bunnies for your children. They're not good pets for children. You'll end up having to surrender them to a rescue. It's rude. Don't do it.
A little bit of seasonal advice, right. Y'all.
I almost found them in my yard. Y'all let them go. They die out there. They're domesticated. These are not wild bunnies. You do not let them in your yard. You bring them to a rescue. So if you do make the mistake of getting a bunny for your kid that gets bored out of their mind in 2 weeks from it because they don't like being touched. And then go ahead and contact your local rescue and surrender them. Okay, do not release into the wild.
Thank you, Charlie.
That was very nice of you. Yeah, he gets them on the farm a lot. So the domesticated ones that are let go, people, and they'll die out there. They don't have anything for themselves. They get lonely. They need like family with them and stuff. It's a thing, so don't do it.
Oh, maybe that's why I just read this article that like Albuquerque or Bernalillo County or whatever, like they suspended their rabbit adoption program this year.
Maybe it's there you go.
I should have read on.
Probably.
I would have had something to contribute.
It probably is exactly why though. If I were a betting woman.
Plenty of rabbits that are wild here. They will probably tear the fuck out of those like little domesticated bunnies.
Oh my god, stop. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But it's true, but also yeah, there's other things. Just buy them a stuffed bunny, okay? It's a 10-year commitment. That's a long time.
Penguins. Stuffed penguins.
There you go. Exactly. An Easter penguin.
Oh my god.
There you go.
I convinced my penguins that they're Easter bunny this year. Oh, that was another thing I read. The Cadbury egg company decided to go with the Florida's like raccoon, I forget what its name, as their Louie.
Yeah, Louie.
Cadbury, what the fuck? I love that raccoon. Stop giving Florida fucking advertisement. They're in the corner right now. Bad state.
It's Louis the raccoon. The cutest fucking raccoon.
Yeah, but he's Floridian. He should fucking defect.
What does that have to do with anything? He did not choose where he was going to be taken in and adopted.
Sorry, Louis.
He can't be let out in the wild and like fucking
congratulations
to,
on your
you know,
on your new
Tennessee.
All right, well.
I've been following that raccoon
apparently
for a while. Listen, you know, most people have parasocial relationships with like humans. I have parasocial relationships with animals. I really
should
have
known that we were going to know who the fuck that was.
Like, if you say Linus, I know you're talking about the chinchilla from Chin Pals, you know? if you say Ollie, we're going to talk about his pumpkin, you know? There's just, and the people out there that know what I'm talking about.
You overlap into so many odd communities, but that's why I love you. Next week on The Screw, we learn more of Felicia's secret lives.
Yeah, I've been watching The Valley. We have to have a Valley chat. Good, I need to make Lord, you watch is some this stuff.
More Bravo garbage. I love it.
Yeah, it's Vanderpump Rules light. Like
is a creepy asshole, right? Like she says, though, she is so mean to people.
I don't know what you mean. You've never actually produced evidence that makes me believe that I'm supposed to dislike her.
Nastiness when she responds to people is epic, and she does.
Isn't it just kind of aggressive? Aggressive? Is it actually passive?
Well, it's passive. Sometimes
it's passive. I guess.
You know, she'll disagree with you and then basically, like, tell you, like, without telling you that, like, it's a horrible idea or you're a piece of shit.
Listen, I don't actually know if I'm supposed to dislike her, okay? I don't. If she's, like, if liking her is not good, somebody out there let me know. It is not good to like any of
these assholes. But they are entertaining.
I just mean, like... I've always liked her, but
rich people making asses of themselves than anybody else. So I'm on board. Go humiliate yourself, you richy riches. Unfortunately, they just keep making more money. You bitchy bitches. So opportunistic bitches. I love you.
All right. Yeah.
This was a dynamic cast. Okay. Yeah. Love you. Bye. Bye, all.
Yeah, we'll talk Scandoval next week. All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye. Bye. It's Charlie again. Bye, everybody. See you next time. Bye, Charlie. Yeah. Okay, bye.